Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, there's a lot going on in golf, so we turn to our longtime Tee It Up contributor, John Steinbreeder. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. All right. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along this hour. We wanted to kind of review the year, but also so much happening in around the golf world between the tours and the upcoming PGA show and all kinds of stuff. We said, who's our guy to go to talk about stuff, to talk about stuff? Well, it's the guy that's been a longtime contributor to this show, and he's written over 25 books, if that's, you know, or co-written. You know, he hasn't taken credit for all the things that Stein has written, but he's written a lot of stuff. He's always writing. He's writing for Global Golf Post, and he obviously is here this hour and will be here throughout the years as we can progress. He's never going to retire, because if you said, Stein, you know, it's about time you retired. He said, what am I going to do? Retire and play golf? I already do that. So, he's got it pretty good. He didn't say that, but he would say it. And I gave him those words for when people do say, why aren't you going to retire? Why would you retire? This game is crazy enough. There's a reason it's a four-letter word. And we've made such great friends, and you, present company included on that. And I tell the story pretty regularly when I talk about Stein, because we met in New York City, of all places, where the golf courses abound, right? It makes sense. No, we were at Chelsea Piers when they opened that up as a driving range out over the Hudson River. Phenomenal thing. And Stein was there. And happened to be sitting next to this bearded guy, or the mustached guy, facial hair, lots of facial hair. Anyway, it was Stein. So anyway, I divert us back to this conversation in this show. As I mentioned, so much to talk about. And let's first pay our respects and talk about the late Fuzzy Zeller, who passed away on Thanksgiving Day. So that day will never be the same for his family. 74 years old, and I know our friend Casey Kerr, that's a longtime caddy, certainly is had very emotional about that passing. He had great relationship with Fuzzy, as dynamic as it could be, but Fuzzy was an interesting sort of for sure, Stein.
Yeah, he was. I didn't spend a lot of time around him. Obviously, in all the Masters I covered, he was there at every one as a former champion. And he was much loved by the patrons down there. And, I think, unfortunately, the first or second line of every obit of his had to do with his remarks about Tiger after Tiger won, and what Tiger was going to serve at the champions dinner the following year. And they were, I think, racist. There's no other way around it. And they were upsetting to a lot of people, understandably so. And but people make mistakes, as Fuzzy did. I don't think he was mean-spirited at all. He never was that. And it's too bad that sort of dominates a lot of the talk about him, because, we all make mistakes. It's hard to pay your whole life, as he had to, for that ill-advised quip. And you forget sometimes, too, when that happens, of what he had done in golf and what he was like. I mean, he won two majors, the Masters in 79 and the Wingfoot in 84. He beat Tom Watson in the playoff for one of those, and he beat Greg Norman in the playoff for another one of those. So he beat some pretty remarkable golfers to do that. I mean, he had a pretty good career, and he won I guess 10 titles, I think, on the tour, and finished second on maybe another 20 times. And he really he doesn't get enough credit for being a great golfer. And, he also won the Senior PGA Championship one year, too. So there's another major you could attribute to him. And he was, the USGA bestowed upon him the Bob Jones Award in 1985, which is a pretty remarkable honor And the fact that Fuzzy got that again shows and demonstrates what great esteem in which he was held in the golf world. And that's an award that's, ironically, I guess, named after the co-founder of the Masters in Augusta National, and recognizes, you know, distinguished sportsmanship in golf. And so Fuzzy deserves a lot of accolades at the time of his passing, and for all he did for the game, and many, many, many great memories and accomplishments in the game we love.
Yeah, that is a huge award. I remember when my late friend Lee Elder won that, and how ironically important it was to him. The award is important, but obviously Bobby Jones had a bit of racist background as well, so it was kind of full circle there. And Lee being the first, as the PGA Tour put it, man of color to play in the Masters at Augusta came full circle. Not that many years ago, but Fuzzy Zeller just had to go through the repercussions of this, the comment that he made about what was being served at the dinner, and I think that happened back in like almost 30 years ago. I mean, 97, I think was the year,
it was right after Tiger's first Masters win, and in reference what Tiger would be serving at the Champions Dinner the following spring. And so, it was back then, 97. And, Fuzzy, listen, Fuzzy'd been to stand under the tree there behind the clubhouse. He'd been drinking his vodka, which he loved. And I'm sure, anyway, it's too bad that he said that. And it's too bad that it was such a prominent part in the obits and the discussions of his passing. You know, another thing about Fuzzy, which is interesting, he was a great hunter and fisherman, which I love to do both those sports, and that he was also an incredible basketball player. He grew up in Indiana, and basketball is the sport out there, and he was a real basketball prodigy growing up out there. And he got the name Fuzzy, of course, not for any physical characteristics, but because his given name was Frank, his middle name is Urban, so Frank Urban Zeller, F-U-Z, Fuzz, hence Fuzzy. And I don't think a lot of people knew that, but that's how he got the name. And he led a good life, and boy, did he love coming down to Augusta, and people loved seeing him and those practice rounds that he would play out there. And, he'd have the same people as what it's like at Augusta, the same people sitting in the same spots, and he knew a lot of those people, and he just relished being a part of that every year.
Yeah, that is one major that almost everybody wants, everybody holds as the highest. So to have a green jacket, at least one of them, is just phenomenal to so many people, and it stays with you the whole time. It's the tournament that you can get invited back to every year, regardless. I mean, you get an invite to play. Whether you can or not is another issue, but the fact that it doesn't happen with any of the other majors, and this lifetime thing is a big deal, and it's the first tournament of the year, the first major, and it's so I don't need to tell you, Stein, because you've written about it and covered it and such even much longer than me. It's just a special place and a special tournament.
No, it really is, and he loved it, like I said, as does anybody who's won it. And they talk about it. I mean, this ability at the start of every year to look at your calendar for the following year, circle the dates of the Masters, and know that's where you're going, and that's where you're going to be that week, God willing. And, I think for them to be able to keep coming back to that great place really makes it, just more special than any of the other majors, for sure. And I was thinking as we're talking here, he was only the third person ever to win the Masters in his first try. Horton Smith and Gene Saracen being the other two. And, one thing that was kind of fun for Fuzzy is that he, as a newcomer, he leaned pretty heavily on his caddy, who was a guy who worked at the club, Jariah Beard. And Fuzzy had this great quote, I guess it was in Golf Week at the time. He said that he had led him around like a blind man. And before he even got to the green, he'd tell me how the putts were breaking, and he was a huge plus. And Fuzzy, over the years, never failed to give Jariah credit for all he did to help him help the first timer win that tournament, which is very hard for a first timer to prevail in.
Well, you know, that's a valid point you just made there, even unintentionally, is the club caddies used to caddy during the tournament. And then that changed over the years as golf has changed. But I think that local knowledge, I mean, if I were ever to get a chance to play in a tournament like that, I'd want one of those guys on my bag. Sorry, whoever Billy is, you know, that's my usual caddy, but you know, this is too big. And I know caddies, no knock on the professional caddies, you know, obviously Casey and Fluff and other guys have been on the show and we know them very well. They've made a nice living doing that, but there's nothing like a guy who does it loops at that course every day.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many subtleties in the greens and the way they break and how to play it. Yes, they do make all the difference in the world, and especially those days when you had those caddies that were there for years. I mean, years that they caddied at that course, and they did know every nook and cranny of it, and that helped Fuzzy miserably, and it helped a lot of first timers that have gone there, maybe not gone on to win, but certainly gone on to play well. It's thanks to having those caddies because, man, they know that course like nobody's business. It was great to think about Fuzzy a little bit, and you know, his passing was very sad, but an incredible career, and you know, two majors, three considering the senior PGA. That's pretty. It's a hell of a career, Hall of Fame career, actually, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, Fuzzy played a lot of years on the PGA Tour, and a guy who has just gotten his card to play on the PGA Tour, Laurie Cantor, a European player, has said, "No, thank you. I'm going to go play on the LIV Tour." So he's going to play on the All European Majestics. So the PGA Tour is losing the gloss. I don't know, Stein. We'll talk about that a little later. I know Stein doesn't officially cover tours, but he's just an all around knowledgeable guy. But I mean, that's a bold move right there to say, because guys aspire to get that PGA Tour card, and once they do, you know, they're ready to be off and running. Instead, he says, "No, thank you. I'm going to play on the LIV Tour."
Well, you know, it's surprising. I don't think you're going to see as many people doing that as you did in years past. I'm not sure the Saudis throwing around the money they once were. And I think even as you start to get, world golf ranking points, and maybe they come to some agreement on that, it's still not the same. And I think it's been driven home by Rahm's experience after joining LIV and not being able to play in a lot of events that he wants to, and by also seeing what a difference it is when those guys get at the majors. I mean, it's great for us to see them playing in it, but I think the guys who went to LIV, I mean, they're, you know, playing 72 holes in front of huge crowds and with everything on the line. I'm sure they're kind of looking around at some point going, man, I miss this. This is kind of cool. And, you know, and those young guys like that fellow, and who's the Irish kid who just joined last year as well? God, I can't think of his name right now. But you know, it's, you know, their prerogative, and I don't know what they're getting paid to come over there. And I'm sure there's some pretty good money LIV is offering right now, not, you know, stupid money that was going out before, but still. And maybe they see that, you know, they're sort of set for life, and they can at least get into play the majors and a few other events, hopefully, and work their way there. But I don't know. I don't quite understand it. It made sense to the Lee Westwoods and the Ann Poulters and and the Phil Mickelson to the world. But for these young up-and-coming kids, I mean, I still feel bad for Joaquin Niemann of Chile, who I saw win the Latin American Amateur down in Santiago, and you know, who's a hell of a player, and just went into witness protection pretty much when he went to LIV. And it's too bad because he might well have won a Masters now, the same way that Hideki won after winning the Asia Pacific Amateur, another event that Augusta helped start.
With John Steinbreeder, we'll be back. We are back and spending the time with John Steingruder, renowned writer, multi-award winning writer, author, and a regular contributor to this show for years, but that's just because we don't monopolize his time. We get him right around the Masters. We get him later in the year. He's gotten back from Morocco recently, so the guy's a traveling guy. He's living the large. He's living the life that we all aspire to live. You know, he gets to wine and dine and smoke the cigars and do whatever the heck he goes. I don't know what he smoked in Morocco. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But before we went to the break, we were talking about the Live Tour a little bit, and Live Stein is going to 72 holes, so you know this has been an arrangement they've made to be able to be on the same playing field, so to speak, with the tours like the PGA.
Good on them, and I think probably it was in order to do that they had to sort of put Norman out to pasture a little bit, and they've got a new CEO, their new commissioner, and he can, you know, easier make that decision, and I think it's a good one, and it's a step in the right direction. I think what's interesting, though, is I have no inside information about this, but just really talking to a lot of people and reading a lot about it, I don't think there's much of a compelling reason for the tour to team up with Liv like they were thinking of doing 2 years ago. And I really just think they're going to go on and coexist in separate tours at separate levels right now, because I don't see what's in it for the PGA Tour. They seem to have made the adjustments they needed to make to make sure they can keep the best players, and I think they're happy with it, and now they've got with this the man is going to be, you know, Rolf is going to be succeeding Jay Monahan, and they're going to continue to evolve and develop, and with Tiger taking more and more of a role on that with as kind of the head of the players committee. I don't know. I think, you know, Liv is going to be on its own island and on its own world than PGA Tour is, but Liv going to 72 holes, that will at least, I think, give him a better chance for world golf ranking points and give the Liv players a better chance of qualifying and getting into some of the major championships. And we all agree when they're all playing together and the great ones, you know, the Rahms and the Deschambeaus and whatnot, it's golf is better. It's more interesting. It's more exciting. And the majors were sure as hell more exciting last year. The Ryder Cup was very exciting when you get all the greatest players playing against each other. And that's a good step in the right direction for Liv, in my opinion, to be able to make that happen.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I don't ever think I thought Liv and the PGA Tour coming together was a good idea anyway. But the PGA Tour is now taking kind of a turn, and they're becoming more, I'll use the word elite, right? This is the problem. This is what our game has been going through all these years. It's not an elitist sport. It's not elitist, but you're showing that it is, because you're even separating your ranks, you know, the top 20 guys, the top 50 guys. You know, what happens to the other 75 guys, you know, in a regular tournament? And it's not going to be the same for those guys. Q school has changed and such. And, I mean, it's really a different dynamic now, so much so that a couple people in the industry have suggested that somebody even start a new tour to include the PGA guys and the champions guys that have no place to go because the fields have crunched down so much and Q school has changed and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but at the same token, you got to get into the plus is more type of a thing, and I think the new commissioner is singing from that hymn, and I think it's an important point that you know, I kind of like the fall series right now, because that seems to be a little bit of a, you know, kind of a little bit of a lesser tour than what's going on from, you know, February through you know, through the end of the FedEx Cup, and you know, I think that's fine. I think it's, you know, you have compelling golf, really good golf, really interesting winners, and it's just at a different little level of play, and I just don't think it needs to be a 12-month-a-year happening, you know, as it has been. You know, you don't have that off season anymore. You don't have that silly season. You don't have that break that we all need. And I think, you know, we all complain about it, you know, with pro hockey, pro basketball, pro baseball. I mean, gosh almighty, it just it goes on forever. And, you know, there's even some talk, I think, of you know, the PGA Tour, you know, starting after the Super Bowl in February, going, you know, in a couple of years down the road, just because America, certainly that golf market from September through January now is absolutely consumed with football, college and pro for much of the year, and then just pro football in January. You know, what's the point? Why, you know, do you really need to have all this golf going on?
Less is more is a good idea. So says John Steinbreeder. We'll be back.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
We're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with renowned writer, regular contributor to the Teed Up with Keith Jones, John Steinbreeder. Stein has been at it for a while and traveling and doing a bunch of good stuff, whatever. But I love to get him in this realm because it's not that he's uncomfortable talking about any topic. It's just that it's different and it allows him to talk about topics that he usually doesn't get it, because you that way you don't get it from like from the grass itself. You kind of get it from the overview, which is a great way to do it. And we were talking before the break about the PGA Tour and too much golf, and I think that Stein brings up a good point from the fact that professional golf is something that a lot of people aren't driven to watch as much on television and such. The spin is, everybody watches the tour and everything else. People are playing a lot more golf, which is great, but they're not watching as much golf as everybody alludes to. But there are certain players that have to decide whether they want to go to the PGA Tour if they can make it, or to live, or what have you. And even with this guy, Laurie Cantor, we were talking about earlier in the show, going to the LIV Tour, that frees up another spot on the PGA Tour. So you look, you know, you take this lemon and you add some water and you make a lemonade. It comes out really good for whoever's got that shot. A guy who won't be on the PGA Tour is Ali Schneiderjans, and I apologize to his family if I hacked up that name, but Schneiderjans has been banned from the PGA Tour because he was a reserve on the LIV Tour. So persona non grata for Ali on that way. And also Colt Nost, who is turned to a bit of a broadcaster, he will not get his reclamation of his amateur status. So because according to the higher ups, there's too many professional players that are trying to get their amateur status, and then they go up and they beat on the amateurs, the longtime amateurs, and the governing bodies don't like that, Stein.
Well, I don't blame them. I've played some, you know, competitive amateur golf and with guys that were a lot better than I, but you know, were elite amateur golfers, and maybe out there and it really the difference is when you do that and you're making a living and you're playing that kind of competitive golf at a high level, that's one thing. But when you go out there and you're making a living, you know, being a real estate broker or selling insurance or whatever, then you got to go up against a guy who played 12 years in the PGA Tour and won two or three events, and it's just a different thing. And I think the reinstatement's a great deal for somebody, you know, some kid who's, you know, played college golf, you know, knocked around the mini tours a little bit, tried to make it as a pro, couldn't do it. You get reinstated, that's fine. But if you've made your living out on a tour for a while, I just don't buy it. I don't think it's you're at a different level. You've played at a different level, and I just don't think it's fair. I could be wrong, but those guys have got, I mean, you know, Colton Austin, I think he's terrific as a broadcaster, and I wish him all the best. But for him to become an amateur, I don't know, man. It seems like he played golf at a pretty high level.
No, you're preaching to the choir there, sir. Let me tell you, no, I am totally on board with that, having been or still being a longtime amateur who doesn't want to go out there and get beat up. And, you know, it goes back to Omar Oresti, and he was able to claim his amateur status, and He did. He set the stage for going out and beating up on the career amateurs, and people took note of that. So I'm totally
like
agree.
Like I said, if he and Omar had a decent PGA Tour career, and I think that's the whole key, and I don't know what the numbers are, but if you won an event, if you won a certain amount of money, if you had a certain amount of top 10 finishes or something, or you did it for a long time, I think you got to sort of take a seat and say, you just can't, you can't do this because you're on a different level than anybody that's played regular amateur golf. And, that's all there is to it. I mean, there are going to be some that are always going to be able to maybe do okay in that, but you've seen evidence too often. And somebody like Omar winning a lot of tournaments once he became an amateur, and you're like, wow, this isn't good.
No, I totally agree with that, and I'm glad that the governing bodies have stood their ground on Colt. Sorry, Colt, but that's that was a ticket that you bought, and got you someplace, and so not coming back, not a return ticket on that one. But you, my man, have played a bit of golf over the last year. You've been playing golf for many years. Let's be quite honest in the show, like we usually are. We'll pull back the curtain. Stein is a golfomaniac, okay? He just is. He gets to play exotic places. He gets to play a lot in Emerald Isles, and he gets all over the place. But most recently, to Morocco you went, and people that heard you on the last show were anxious about hearing about Morocco. Now, I know some people who have been to Morocco, and they have fantastic stories, but probably they pale in comparison to you, Stein.
Well, I don't know about that, but I love Morocco. I've been there 15 times now since 1995, so I've been going back for a while. And I first went over there as part of a group Billy Casper brought over, and Billy was a swing coach for the King of Morocco back then, King Hassan II. His Majesty was a golf nut. He loved the game, thought it was a great way to introduce people to his country. And his second son and his youngest son, Prince Moulay Rashid, inherited his father's golf gene and his golf passion. And he sort of picked up the torch and is helping to lead and continue to lead this charge in Morocco of making it a great golf destination and also making it a game for Moroccans. And this past year, for example, Moroccan 15-year-old Moroccan woman played in the Augusta National Women's Amateur. They've had Moroccans competing on the LPGA Tour. There's several competing at the highest level of college golf in the States. It's an incredible place. There are now like 50 courses in the country. When I first went there in 1995, I think there were like eight, and designed by, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Kyle Phillips, James Duncan, some really good course architects have built some really amazing courses. And what's also great too is that it's such a beautiful country. It's a very culturally diverse country. It's geographically very diverse. You've got mountains with snow on them. You've got beautiful, lush acres of farmland. You've got beaches galore, both on the Atlantic and the Mediterranean. You've got desert in the Sahara. You've got some wonderful cosmopolitan cities in Rabat, the capital, and Marrakesh, and Tangier up in the Mediterranean. And, and wonderful food, terrific wine, and a really tolerant culture, too. You see a great melding of old and new, of modern and traditional, that makes it a very comfortable place to go, a very exotic place to go. And only 6 hours from JFK to Casablanca, so it's a lot easier to get to than Bandon Dunes for me. I love going over there, and I help found a tournament that we stage there every year. I'm actually going back on Monday night for 4 or 5 days for some work, and I can't get enough of it. And the people have just got this natural sense of hospitality. Morocco was the first country that recognized the U.S. after it signed its Declaration of Independence in 1777. The Sultan of Morocco recognized us and we have a since 1821, I think we established our first foreign council overseas. Was there in Tangier, and it still exists. It's the only National Historic Register place in America in that register that is not in the U.S. And so there's a great connection between Moroccans and Americans that make it even that much more fun to be over there, because they love Americans and they're very welcoming.
That's a crazy story. I guess we have a new Moroccan travel agent. We'll have to talk talk off air and get some things figured out, because then, again, he's now like the fourth person I've talked to that said how fantastic Morocco was, and he didn't say anything about the steam baths or any of that other kind of stuff that that happens over there as well.
We apparently, get into that, but yeah, the Haman massages are unbelievable, which are done in baths, and they've just got a love of life over there. That's great fun. And like I said, very tolerant. And, you know, there's plenty of good nightlife and good nightclubs. There's unbelievable cuisine and a real elevated level of service and quality. Anyway, I can't say enough about it. Obviously, I love it over there, and I love. I can't wait to get back.
Did you fly Royal Air or did you fly U.S.
Yeah, Royal Air Maroc, which is my go-to. You know, the airline I've always taken to and from, and it's wonderful. They know how to take care of you.
There we go. And then your clubs. How do they get there? You ship them ahead, or do they put them on the plane?
No, I travel with them, and everything's been great in all those trips. No issues ever. And I like shipping them sometimes, but I just prefer to have them with me, because I just kind of know where they are then. And the clubs I bring with me, and it's great stuff.
Indeed, it is, and it's great stuff when John Steinbruder, that is, joins us on TW Keith Jones. Always great with the stories and such. And you've had a really outstanding year again. You're always upbeat and such, and you come out with a couple more books. And so what's the end of the year look like for you? And obviously we'll see you in Orlando. We want to talk about that as we wind down the show the next 10 minutes or so on that. But that's going to be fantastic to spend some time with you there. But what is from now till then?
Well, going to Morocco, and then I'm going to be in Hawaii right after that. I'm actually making the trek, if you can believe it, from Marrakesh to, or actually from Fez all the way to Kauai, with a stop in New York, a stop in Phoenix, and that'll be a long trip. But I'll be over in Kauai and Maui to play some golf, and really looking forward to that. I've been to Hawaii before, to the Big Island and to Lanai, but I've never been to these two islands. So looking forward to that, and seeing how cold it is in Connecticut right now. I can't wait to put on a pair of shorts again. And go.
No, I was fortunate to be in Hawaii back in September, and I tell you, I even got by Kapalua, but Kapalua is closed because it's on Maui and there's a water issue. It was brown and closed, and even though it was nice to be in the pro shop, it was disappointing. But hopefully, you know, when you get to Kauai, I need to get to as well. But we did spend some time on the Big Island, spent a couple overnights in Oahu, and then to Maui for 4 nights, which was fantastic, and getting around there and stuff. So that was a special time, and I don't know if I'll get back again or when, but that's a heck of a trip for you to go from Marrakesh to the islands.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what language I'm going to be speaking by the time I get there, and I don't know. I'll be waking up or just nodding off in the middle of the days, but I'm looking forward to it. It's not ideal from a timing standpoint, but and I'm a big hit around the household, as you can imagine, being out of town for 2 weeks right before the holidays. So I'm not exactly getting Husband of the Year awards for that move. But what are you going to do? And it's work, and I look forward to writing about Hawaii. So I'll be writing about that early in the year. And then, yeah, the PGA Show, it's, you know, coming up fast. And I'm really, you know, I always like being down there, Keith. We always see each other there. It's, you know, it's a great thing for the golf industry to reconnect, and it kicks off. I mean, the Masters for a lot of people is the start of the golf year, or the Players for us, it's the PGA Show. So that's always fun. And I've got some golf sort of set up before I get down there. You know, I forgot to mention in October before I went to Morocco for my tournament, I went down to Stream Song, and I walked around the new course that David Kidd is building there with David and some of his design associates, and that was great to see. And that's going to be a lot of fun when that opens. I can't wait to see that, and I think that'll next fall that'll be open, and it'll be the first time that you've had sort of the big four or five, if you as it is with the golf course architects in this modern golden age, and that's Tom Doak, Bill Corb, Ben Crenshaw, Gil Hanson, Jim Wagner, and now with David Kidd, they'll all have a course at Stream Song, and that's the only place on earth that's got all those guys with a course at the same spot, and those are kind of the big five, if you will, and that's exciting. That'll be really great to see when that's done, and it was fun to walk with David around the course. It's taking shape down there, and to see it and then see what's happening. And it's going to be a good one. I think that'll be really nice. So that was just something from this fall, just thinking about that. It was a really great trip to take.
Yeah, we're going to look to get David on the show because he's a guy that a lot of people outside of the industry realm are less familiar with. You mentioned this, you know, obviously Doak and what Gil has done and such. But David is a renowned designer in his own right, and a guy that, you know, perhaps doesn't get the accolades of some of the other guys.
Well, and he should, because I mean, Bannon Dunes was, you know, I mean, you had Corin Croucher did Sand Hills Golf Club back in '95, and that was the first of these new courses, you know, with the link style design and minimalist, and kind of this that kicked off this golden age. The second golden age, and David did the second one and at Bannon in 99, and he was only 27 or 28 when that opened up finally. And then Doak built Pacific Dunes 2 years after that. That opened in 2001. So, you know, those guys were kind of right there at the birth of this movement. And David's very articulate, very very good guy, very smart, and very talented. And he's great to be with. He's great to talk to, and he did a really good job. And this was the only article I've ever written in golf. And when I mentioned Taylor Swift gets a mention in the article, and I'm trying to think what else, but I mentioned Taylor Swift because he actually credits some of the music off of her Torture Poets Department album with helping him as he was trying to sort out some sort of design conundrum. So we introduced Taylor Swift to the golf scene in this piece I wrote about her.
All right. Concerned about that? She's already messed up.
No, don't hold it against David.
No concern. Taylor's already messed up football. But now here we go. So that's your next book. I just came up with his next book. That's the golf / music / everything else he does. Stein will be working on a book with Taylor Swift. There you go. It's officially been announced now, and you heard it here first on TW Keith Jones because we just made it up, so we're good like that. But Stein's with us for another 5.5 minutes or so to wrap the show. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the PGA show and everything going on in there. It's exciting, and we were going to, of course, get Mark Simon on before the show, so that'll be good. He's the man behind the curtain. We'll be back with Stein.
Hi, this is Trey Cool from Green Day, and we're teeing it up with Keith Jones, like we always do. It's a habit we can't stop.
The time has just flown by, and it's always great to spend time with a good buddy and a guy who's very knowledgeable and very good humored as well, because you could tell that on that, because somehow he intertwined. I think somebody said, hey, you go on Keith's show and you just say Taylor Swift. You figure out how to slide that in there, and we'll we'll pick up the bar tab next time we see you.
I'll just suck it up
for
an invite to
her
wedding.
There you go. You know that's going to be a throwdown. Holy cow, that is going to be something else. But something else is going to be in Orlando at the end of January 20th to the 23rd, the PGA Merchandise Show. I don't know. It's like our 30th year. It's pretty crazy when I stop and think about it. But I have talked with our girl Sherry Major, and the show has been oversold, Stein. So, okay, so there will be vendors in the hallways. I can't wait to see the logistics of this one.
Well, that's good for them. And, you know, I'm a little concerned. I mean, as concerned as you are about me talking about Taylor Swift in a golf show, I'm very concerned that there's a pickleball element now to the PGA show, apparently. So I'm trying to get over that. But I love Sherry. She does an incredible job. And I wish them and her nothing but the best. And if that's prosperous and that's prospering, then we are prospering too, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, you know, this is not going to be the first year for the pickleball thing. It is. Been around now. This may be the third show. I don't remember. I try to stay away from that area, and you know, and I'm actually not allowed to play pickleball not because of anything physical. Well, it is physical because apparently the rules allow you to hit the ball at people, and that's what I do. So people get upset, and I said I'm not allowed to play. So because I hit the ball at people, but it's legal, it's allowed. So you know, you just do it because you can't.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I just, what can I say? I mean, you know, I play a lot of paddle tennis up this way, but, you know, but pickleball, I mean, I just think of poor Bernard Langer, you know, snapping his Achilles playing pickleball. So, I mean, I want nothing to do with it. I can't afford to snap any Achilles.
No, can't afford to snap anything else except for maybe a shaft. That is about it. And that wouldn't be nothing on the body, though. We're too delicate at this point in our career.
I'm just trying to hang on by a thread every day.
So what are you doing? Are you doing golf forever with like Schefter or Scheffler? What are you doing?
Well, I do a lot of Peloton work, which is great for me, and I do a lot of walking, and I go see a personal trainer once a week and get stretched out, and I do some dynamic stretching. So the great and wise Charlie Meacham once told me that the key as you get older is to stretch. And I don't do enough of it, but, you know, just taking care of myself in different ways. I stopped drinking. I've lost a bunch of weight. I'm trying to stretch more. It makes a huge difference because we're not getting any younger.
I'm sorry. Somebody said, is this John Steinbruder on the show? He stopped drinking. No more Guinness, no more what?
Well, no, yeah, just, I had about 12 or 13 people, you know, hogtie me, throw me into a vehicle and dump me off at a rehab place and just said, we don't want to see him again for 2 months. And then, I just stopped. And I feel great, and I'm glad I did from a lot of perspective. I just feel better. I kind of miss my Manhattans in the middle of a nice cold winter night, but no, it's good. So that's helping my golf too because I'm a lot fitter. I feel a lot better when I walk, and I can. I think I've lost distance as I've lost weight, but at the same token, I feel like I get a better swing now. So that's where I'm trying to find it is doing that.
No bourbon either. What is happening on this show? Oh my God!
Well, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
Good for you, Stein. Listen, man, you know I'm kidding you. Good for you. You're in good shape. You're going to Hawaii. You got to put the don't put the Speedo on, but you know you got to have the bathing suit. Aloha is hello and goodbye, so you're real good there. And mahalo always comes in handy because it's thank you. So you're in good shape. It is time to go to Hawaii. It's a paid vacation. I mean, it's paid trip, right? I mean, you're getting paid to write articles, right?
Yes.
So you have this Mrs. Steinbruder. John has to. He has to keep working. He has to keep working and make money and stuff. But hopefully, when you get back from Hawaii, you'll come back on the show. But we're just out of time. The great John Steinbruder, yes, indeed, is the guest on TW Keith Jones. We're just out of time, as I mentioned. Get out there and practice your game. Stein's doing it. Practice, practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.